pronounce. And so the first chapter is the name Nehemiah even mentioned. And so I think it's really a testimony to what a great leader he was and just how he just, you know, empowered the people to go and do that work of rebuilding the wall. And he didn't have to take any ownership over it. He didn't have to, you know, correct or, you know, just get in there and redirection people. He just let them do it, and they did it, and they did it well. And I thought that this and this plan, it was just so orderly. I loved how one group of people did one part of the wall, and then the other people started right there. There were no gaps in the plan. There was nothing that was missing or that was forgotten about. And so I was thinking about just how God is reflected in that. And we have a God that's a God of detail. He's a God that it pays attention to just the little things. And our core groups are going through the book of Exodus. And we just got done teaching about the tabernacle. And it was Philip and I's turn to teach the little kids about the tabernacle. And it was like going Mach 5 over their heads, and they're like, whatever. But the Lord is so detail-oriented. It matters to him. He's a planner. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for this church. He's got a plan for our families and our marriages. He's got a plan, and he's just a planner. And I tend to think I'm a planner too. And I just think that sometimes though we go through life and we think we're going to wing it, or oh, we'll figure it out when we get there. And recently, Philip and I, we went to this briefing, and one guy got up there and he said something that struck me, and I wrote it down, and I don't know exactly why, but then I was preparing this message and I was like, aha. And so he said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know what? You're right. I feel like, yes, God does meet us sometimes when we're winging it or when we're going to figure it out when we get there. But I think that when we sit down and we think about things and we pray about things and we pour our heart into something and we map it out and we kind of just think about things from all angles, I think it most reflects God. I think it brings glory to God in a way that maybe winging it might not. And so I just thought that was a really cool thing that Nehemiah was doing. He planned, and now the people were doing the plan. And as they're doing the plan, they start the work, okay? And now we're going to talk about the work. And in this chapter, that's what they were doing. They were doing hard labor. They were working, and they were building, and they were doing this. All the people were doing this. All of the people were working together. They were each doing their part in it. I didn't see a lot of complaining. I didn't see a lot of slacking off. I didn't see a lot of pointing the fingers and blame and complaining. They were all doing their job. They were all doing their work, their own part. And whether it was right in front of their home, and that is a really good incentive to do the job correctly, and you would fortify your home really good, or whether it was building a common wall or a gate where people would pass through, or animals or dung or whatever it is that goes through those gates, they were doing it, and they were doing it well. They were putting into action. When Nehemiah in chapter 2, verse 18, he's like, let us, and this is before, he wasn't like talking to the people. He said, let us rise up and build. And this is them rising up and building. This is them carrying out that battle cry. And so these people, they got this. They got this vision. And they knew that this work was going to require a lot of them. It was going to be hard work. It was going to be sweat, lots of hours. They were working side by side, people they might not have really liked in the first place. Maybe they were suffering ridicule and taunting from other people outside the walls. And they had to take time out of their own schedules to do and put this plan into action. And that's much like us. When we start working, we know what it's going to take in order to get the finish, in order to get the finished, the fruit from it. And so here, they were working, and this whole entire chapter is dedicated to telling of the work that they were doing. And I think that they did that work because it was evidence that they believed in the vision. You know, they carried out that work because they totally bought in and saw and grabbed hold of and just, you know, fell in love with Nehemiah's vision. Nehemiah was a good vision caster, obviously. I mean, he probably, you know, as he's telling the people his vision, they probably saw the end product in their mind's eye. You know, they're like, yes, I could see it. Yes, I see that this can be done. But I feel like, and most of you have heard different vision, whether it be, whether it be the Jesus Project, or whether it be different nonprofit organizations or a movement or some sort of things that people are doing, and you're catching the vision. You're like, that sounds great. That sounds awesome. But unless it goes down into your heart, unless it penetrates our heart, it needs to resonate with our hearts, and that's what's going to get us up out of the pew. That's what's going to compel us to go do something about whatever we're hearing. You tracking me? Okay. And it's the Lord that makes that happen. It's the Lord that stirs up our hearts. In Haggai, God stirred up Zerubbabel to go and repair the temple. He stirred him up, and he, you know, gave him this idea, and he was like, okay, let's do it, and I'm gonna tell a bunch of people, and I'm gonna take a bunch of exiles back, and we're gonna start the temple. And so it's the Lord that stirs up our heart. You could be the best speaker, but unless the Lord is in it, it's not gonna make us step out and do anything about it, or not the longevity that it's gonna take. And so they had this faith that this project was going to be a good thing, that that there was going to be much benefits from it, that it was going to amount to something, that it was going to be worth their while. And so they jumped into it. They jumped wholeheartedly into this work, into this plan. And so as I was praying about that, the plan and the work and the faith, I was like, Lord, what else is in there? And so he showed me, he kind of just opened my eyes down to his heart. And so we're going to talk about the plan. And we're going to talk about God the Father's plan. And just how this, to me, it was just a picture of God's plan and God's heart and God's character as a planner, as the blueprint holder. And God the Father had this plan. And he had this plan from the beginning of time. And this plan was the plan of salvation for man and the forgiveness of their sin, because we have sinful hearts. And he had this plan to repair the broken relationship between God and his creation that only he could repair. He couldn't solicit anybody. Only he could repair it. He knew how this plan was going to be implemented. He knew the ins and the outs. He knew the whole plan beforehand. He knew who the plan was for. We were all predestined. He knew exactly each one of our names from the beginning of time who this plan was for. In Latin, there's this word, missio Dei, M-I-S-S-I-O-D-E-I, and it means mission of God, or the sending of God. And a lot of times when I think of the word missio, I think of the word missionary, and how we send people down to the Amazon or down to Africa or wherever it is to bring the good news and to bring the gospel to them and to tell them about Christ. But here, God is sending himself. God was the first missionary. It's his plan. He wanted to send himself. because only he could make the repairs on this one. Even just the Institute of Marriage, it just screams of who God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are. They are all one. And when a husband and wife get married, they're one. It just, that's who, it reflects who God is. All of creation tells people of who God is. The prophets were sent to tell who God is in his plan. He sent his only son, and Philip was talking this weekend about how God didn't have many sons. God didn't just pick out one, oh, you'll do. No, this was his only son, the one he loved, the one he was especially fond of. And he chose him and he sent him. And anybody who believes in him can have eternal life. But this word, Missio Dei, also refers to the work of the church as being part of God's work. And that's where you and I come in. When we become part of the church, when we say yes to Jesus, we become part of the church, and therefore his work becomes our work. We become part of this plan. And that's when we start the work. And the work that we have to do is that we want to show the who that was shown to us, right? We want to show them Jesus. We want to show his light and his character and the hope. And we have a responsibility, and it doesn't always look like evangelism on the street corner. It doesn't always look like teaching the out of the Word of God to a group of girls that are sitting around you. That's not all that we do. We cut hair, and we make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and we drive the carpool, and we do all these different things. These are all things that can reflect who Jesus is. And I think we forget this. We forget that it is all that we do. We all have different talents and different jobs and different trades. We have different hobbies, and all of that amounts to the good works. These are good works that Ephesians 2:10 refers to, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. These are what those are, the good works, which God prepared beforehand, because we were predestined, that we should walk in them. And I love that we're so different. I love that we are all so, we all do different things, and we have different, you know, hearts for different things, and different things give us pleasure, and we use our time doing different jobs and tasks. And then I was thinking about just how, and that's just in America, and I was thinking about the people down in Africa and in the Amazon and in China, and just how they have jobs and hobbies that don't even exist here. But those jobs and hobbies, along with ours, are all together reflecting who God is. If we're doing our jobs, if we're working right, and people might see like, hey, you're doing that different. I want to know what's different about you. You're selling, you know, maybe you sell clothes at a retail shop, and you're selling them, you know, with joy in your heart, and you're really, those compliments come down deep, and that joy and that love from Jesus is just spilling out over you. That is reflecting Jesus. What an example of all the different people with all those different crazy names. They all came together and worked on the wall. And in your homework, I see that there were like four little spaces of the different types of people or the different tasks that they were doing. I came up with a lot of them because I was reading a lot of different versions. And these are all the different types of people that were working on the wall. Men, sons, daughters, rulers, governors, mayors, priests, perfumers, homeowners, keepers of the gate, goldsmiths, servants, support staff, merchants, inhabitants of the land, masters, and those that just came from Persia, all the way back over here. So there's just a lot of different types and kinds of people, but they're all working together. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do. And so And so whether it is this poor perfumer, you know, he's really good with the essential oils and he's got a good nose, and then all of a sudden he has to pick up a hammer and a saw and he's probably thinking, I don't know what to do with this, but I guess I'm going to do it, you know. And so whatever it is, you might be good at it, you might be well-versed in it, maybe you're struggling or you're awful at it. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And ladies, that's the key. If we do our work unto the Lord and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the key to showing others the who that we were shown, showing them Jesus. I think doing this is the key to working with joy, just joy-filled. This is the key to be working in unity. If we're doing it unto him and not unto ourselves, and we're not comparing and contrasting, and that person, you know, is their length of the wall is shorter than mine, and, you know, if we're just, you know, sassing around, that's not going to bring glory to God. That's not going to show others the who that we're trying to show. If we keep this in mind, we will have fulfillment and contentment because we're doing it unto our Lord. Our Lord. And also, it will bring humility. And all those things scream of Jesus. Scream of Jesus. And so when we work together, there's safety, there's encouragement, because we're all in it together. We like feel one another's pain, like when we're having a bad day, and thank God we don't all have a bad day all on the same day. We can encourage one another, and we're more effective. When he says, let us rise up and build, it's like, let's all do it together on the same count. 1, 2, 3, go. Because then it's more effective. We can't be working and you work one day and then maybe take 5 days off and then I'll take a day, and just the work is not going to get done. We want to be that bright flame, not a little flicker. We want to be that bright flame. And so working together, and unto the Lord, we are more effective. And those men, they got it done in 52 days, the whole wall. And now we'll talk about the faith. And that answers why. Why did they go through all of that trouble? And why do we go through that? Why do we do all of our work unto the Lord? And I was praying about this, and the Lord just, like, constantly, every time I went back to the why, he just brought me back to, because there was a moment. There was one moment in each one of our lives that we came to a point of total surrender. Each one of us, there was a moment when we were just begging and desperate and in despair. And there was a moment that we knew without a shadow of a doubt that I needed a savior. I need someone to save me right now, because without a savior, I'm going to die. I know where my life is headed. We needed to be saved, and we needed to be delivered and helped and healed. Each one of us had that moment. And sometimes it's a long time that we even thought about that moment. But it's the moment that sparked the rest of our lives, the beginning of our eternity. It's the moment. This hope, this deliverance, and this salvation was going to come from nobody but Jesus Christ. And somehow, supernaturally, we saw that through this Savior, Jesus Christ, there was hope. It might have been the only light that we have seen, probably for days and weeks and years for some of us. And we saw Jesus. And it was a light and this hope. And we said yes to him. And we accepted him. And we allowed him into our hearts. And we made him Lord of our lives. And we made him the boss. He was our king. There was that moment where, like, I don't even care. I'm done. I'm ready. I'm completely surrendered to you, Lord. Whatever it takes, I'm yours. And at that moment, we exchanged our hopelessness for his future and our darkness for his light. our wandering for his will, and our chaos for his purposes. And our lives have never been the same. Our lives have never been the same. And there's no looking back. There's no looking back there, because I know who I am without Christ. And I will go immediately right there, because that's who I am without Jesus. And so I thought it was a good idea to actually remember for a moment where your point of grace came, where that salvation moment came. Because I think that that is why we bought in. We are all in. That's why we put the work into this plan that was for me, that was free. It was a free plan for me, but it cost God the Father, the planner, a son. It cost him a great deal. I think by remembering and revisiting our first love, it sparks life into the works that we are doing, right? I mean, these works that we like what we do, and sometimes it just the life is kind of sucked out of us, you know, and maybe we've just forgotten why, or maybe we just lost that feeling of excitement and that quickening in our spirit, you know, and it's good to remember. And this is what makes abundant life abundant, right? We are so privileged to have this abundant life. I think that it will breathe life into all that we do. It will aid in compelling us forward into this life of mission. We are mission-minded, like our Heavenly Father, to carry out his plan in all the things that we say or do, no matter if we're good or bad at it. And so I'm going to ask you ladies to please bow your heads for a word of prayer with me. And I want to ask you, ladies, if you have not had an opportunity to have that moment with Jesus, if you have not had an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to give him your life, to surrender all that you have and all that you are to him, if you have not had that opportunity and this is the moment, I just want you to look up at me. And so I can pray for you. All right, ladies, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for these ladies, God. Oh, how you just stand in the gap, how you just stand there waiting to be seen. You just stand at the door, you knock, and you're patient. And all we need to do is let you in. All we need to do is say yes. And you are so full of love for us. And I just thank you that your love is free, and it's a thick love. And it's a love that doesn't change based on my performance, based on my work, based on my lack of planning, Lord. Your love is thick, and I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that each one of these ladies would take time to sit and remember and meditate on what you've done for them, what you've saved them from, what you've given them since then, Lord. Riches that are uncountable, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that that very thought, Lord, would push them into a life of just working, Lord. But it wouldn't even be working, God. It would just be obedient to your call and loving it, Lord. It's abundant life. This is an adventure with you. This is a journey with you. And there's ups and there's downs. But, God, we get to see the God of the universe doing great and mighty things, and we get to go along for the ride. And you're working whether or not we're working with you. What a privilege it is, Lord, and I just thank you for that. And I just am so thankful for my salvation day. And I ask, God, that you would anoint these ladies in the small groups as they leave. I pray, Father, that you would continue to just speak volumes into their lives, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Just the same as last week, if you need prayer, I'll be right outside. And maybe if there's many of you, others will be out there too. And next week we will have a special speaker. I will not be here, so we'll see you next week.